Hey, this is Pastor Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us. I know God has a word for you today. I hope you really hear it deep down in your spirit. I pray you feel encouraged and inspired to keep chasing Jesus with all you've got. If you'd like to support the ministry of the Branch Church so we can continue to connect those far from God to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, you can do so at branch.church/give. Now let's get to the message. Today I want to lay a foundation for the next 4 weeks. The next 4 weeks. Okay, maybe pull me down just a touch. So over the next 4 weeks, I have one overarching question that I want to just annoy you to death. You ready? Just one question. It's really easy. Okay, that's not true. It's a good question, though. Do you believe that God wants to do the impossible in your life? Let me ask it again, and let me just preface with, this is not a rhetorical question.
Come on.
Do you believe that God actually wants to do the impossible in your life? Because this is kind of like the key theme of the Bible. What we see over and over again is God doing impossible things for his people. And now, we're just relegated to things we can do for ourselves. Do you believe God wants to do the impossible in your life? So, what does it take to do the impossible? Well, sometimes, you know, we can kind of like wrap our identity or our thought process around like a cute quote. Yeah? Y'all have any quotes you just kind of keep in your back pocket? Here's a good one. Let me get that first one. You must find the place inside yourself where nothing is impossible.
Hello.
That sounds cute, don't it? Let me hear the next one. For nothing is impossible if you put your true heart into it. Like life coaching 101. Okay, all right. Impossible is nothing. Simple, clean. Possible is nothing. Let's move this one. Impossible is just a big word thrown around by small men who find it easier to live in the world where they've been given than to explore the power they have to change it. Impossible is not a fact, it's an opinion. Impossible is not a declaration. It's a dare. Impossible is potential. Impossible is temporary. Impossible is nothing.
Come on.
Now, knowing that was Muhammad Ali, you're almost tend like to believe that, right? You know, the problem with all of this is that it's just not true. It's just not true. You know, don't get me wrong. Hard work, determination, dedication, self-discipline, that will take you a long ways in life. But it won't let you do the impossible. It just won't. It won't. The impossible is only something done by the power of God. It's not great achievement. It's not just sheer willpower. It's something that defies logic and nature. You know, we can have honest conversations, people in the church, believers. It's difficult to continually live in faith and expectation all the time. No, just me. Hi, I'm Ryan. I find it difficult to live in full faith and expectation at all points in my life. Okay, all right, great. Me and Shay, thanks. It's hard to live by faith when life keeps punching you in the face. I had a season not too long ago. Someone asked me all the time, "Hey, how you doing this week?" And my only response was, "Well, this week doesn't feel like I've been punched in the face." And that was like the best I could do. And it was a win for me. You know, it's tough to have that kind of faith and expectation when you live through a life of trial, difficulty, and pain. It's hard to believe when you don't see anything. It's hard to believe when you felt like God hasn't come through. It is hard to believe. And so maybe you get to the point and you're like, you know, should I even be praying for a miracle? Or should I stop and just pray for just enough? Or maybe barely enough? Or maybe you tend to go a different direction and, well, if I don't pray, if I don't believe, then I can't be disappointed by God. Is it more dangerous to pray and believe and be physically disappointed, spiritually disappointed, or to just not pray and not believe? Mm-hmm. We get very easily discouraged and we stop living by faith and believing God for the impossible. You know, maybe we believe that God can still do the impossible. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can still do it, but probably just not for me. Maybe we have to answer the question, do we believe that God wants to do the impossible in my life? So what's keeping us from stepping out on faith and living a life of a radical faith? If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to get there in just a second. I'm going to show you where all this is coming from, okay? We'll get there. But while you're flipping there, let me kind of tell you a story, a personal story. Over the last little bit, it's hard to put a time frame on it, but God has really been challenging me about some things in my life. Namely, like, dude, Ryan, you got to increase the time in your prayer time. Okay? You just have to. And so what I've been seeing is this picture of myself kneeling in front of my couch, pouring out my heart to God. It's a great picture. I love this picture because that has been me, that is me, that will be me, like all of those things. Like, that's me, that's my place. And so, like, I'll be doing the most random thing. Maybe I'll be at the gym and I'll get this image into my head of myself just praying in front of my couch. I'm like, stop it. Like, I gotta focus. I'm gonna kill myself, you know. Or I'll be having a one-on-one conversation with somebody. We'll be digging into real life stuff and I just, this image just floods my brain and I can't see anything else. And at random times throughout my day, this picture just invades my life. And here's been the convicting thought that's just been breaking my spirit. That I've traded the miraculous and the impossible for what I can achieve on my own. This is like Confessions of a Pastor for you, okay? I'm not a superhuman. I'm not super, super spiritual. I'm just Ryan. That means there's things I have to work through. That means there's issues I have to deal with. And so I've been on this personal journey to try to force myself to believe God for the impossible. So if you're in 1 Kings, we're going to talk about Elijah, one of the coolest stories you'll ever read. We're just going to hit the highlights today, but you should read all of 18. Just read it all, okay? Read the Bible. When in doubt, just read the Word. I don't care where you pick. But this is a really, really cool chapter. So let me give you some context. The Israelites, God's people, had completely walked away from God. They were serving this made-up dude called Baal. I don't know if that's exactly how you pronounce it, but it's Baal, all right? He was the god of the Canaanites. He was something tangible. If you ever wanted God to be tangible, like, you know, have you ever had the thought, I'm sure lots of you have, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus was just here?
Yeah, every day.
Come on! Baal, let me tell you about Baal. He was the god of wine and fertility. Can I tell you what worship of Baal included? Getting drunk and fertile exercises? Yeah, this is going up on the podcast, so come on now. I don't want to get kicked off. Engine. That was a good way. Come on. I did. I worked hard on that. All right, there we go. In chapter 17, Elijah comes on the scene and declares that a famine will spread across the land. And this is like direct confrontation, direct challenge to wine and fertility is famine. All right? And so we get to the great showdown in chapter 18. Oh, yeah. Because you know it's coming. God doesn't let his people walk away and do nothing about it. He's chasing you down from the moment you turn around. Okay? He wants you. Chapter 18, starting in verse 19. Now, summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. That sounds delicious, doesn't it? Sorry. Sidetrack. And bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashereth who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent a word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." And the people turned from their sins and repented, and they all went home. But the people said nothing. Church, let me just tell you, this was a bold move to challenge an entire people worshiping other gods. Bold moves of God require bold moves of faith. Faith is believing and doing without seeing. If we could see the big picture, the grand scheme of things that God is doing, we wouldn't need faith for it. Faith is believing and doing without seeing. There will come a point in your life, when in your Christian walk, when you hit an impasse and you have to decide to step out onto nothing. Seemingly nothing. Just a little hint. God is there to catch you. Okay, so now I'm spoiling it, the ending for you. But how do we even build our faith? How do we gain faith? Well, hearing the word initiates your faith.
Yes, man. Come on.
Speaking the word activates your faith.
It does.
And doing the word demonstrates your faith.
Come on, man.
Again, great. Hearing the word initiates your faith. Faith comes by
hearing.
And that of the word. Speaking the word activates faith. Three little words Jesus used to whoop Satan's butt. It is written. Activation. Doing the word demonstrates faith. Go unto all the world and preach the gospel. Check the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Audacious faith is not that we sit back and talk about what we like to accomplish for the kingdom of God. Does anybody have an idea, man, in their back pocket, like all the time, like, hey, it'd be really cool if, or what if you did X? Mm-mm-mm. Impossible faith moves.
Come on now.
I love good ideas, but impossible faith moves. It kind of reminds me of my kids when they were little, going to a swimming pool. We were in Muskogee when they were really little and kind of learning to swim in a small town in Oklahoma. And there's this little water park there. And, you know, we have them in their floaties, and they didn't have, well, it was like a floaty life jacket combo. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of buckles in the back. If you've got kids, you know. And they're really cool. They're easy to put on, sunscreen head to toe. Cause you know, you got to do that too. And I'm like, cannonball in, let's go. And they're just, you know, tiptoeing 6 to 10 inches deep. That's it. And I'm the dude of adventure. I'm like, let's go have fun. Let's get crazy. Let's go off the biggest water slide they have. Come on, let's go. They're super content to live and swim in 6 inches of water. It's driving me crazy. It's like my three-year-old doesn't understand that he's got a floaty on or something. And if the floaty fails, dad's there. Come on. I mean, it's so obvious. Let's go have more fun in the deep end. Why would you stay I hope you can connect some dots. Why would you stay in the shallow end of the water, faith, when God is desperately begging you to come into the deep end? You know how much more fun it is to go down the big slide of faith than it is to just sit in 6 inches of water? You don't even get fully submerged in 6 inches. God, the Father, is pleading with you to step into the deep end. One of my favorite stories with my boys, we were at the lake with my dad. Maybe they were 4 and 5. And one of the things I like to do is go jumping off some bluffs. There's a high point sitting over some water. Why not? I mean, this bluff was, 25 or so feet tall. It's not that big. It's big-ish, but it's not that big. It might be gigantic for a 4-year-old. But we have to rock climb. You have to work hard to get up to the top. And then I throw this beautiful back layout into a jackknife. Right? It's beautiful. I mean, I'll take it and I'll show you. Am I lying? It's beautiful. All right? I help my kids get up the rock. They're sitting at the edge. I'm like, all right, ready? 1, 2, 3. Well, me and my oldest one did.
Oh, no.
Youngest one, he wasn't feeling it too much. But what he also didn't understand was that when you get far enough, you just can't go backwards. When you have a taste of the Holy Spirit, you just can't forget it. You can't. The way that we got up on top of that rock, it was physically impossible to climb back down. Okay? Dangerous, adventurous, it's basically the same thing, all right? Let's have fun, parents. Come on. Audacious faith climbs the mountain, knowing the only way down is the fun side where God's going to catch you. That's it. The impossible will demand that you step out onto something extremely uncomfortable. If it was comfortable and easy, it wouldn't be called faith. Now, God has given us a beautiful blueprint on how to pursue Him and find His will. But if we don't actually know what it says, we're going to spend the rest of our Christian life in 6 inches of shallow water, 6 inches of shallow faith. You know, we can't determine why or how God chooses to move, but there's one ingredient that is always present when God chooses to do a supernatural thing. Audacious, radical faith. So church, here we are this morning. You ready? I'm ready to step out in faith. I don't fully understand it. I have no idea what's going to come of it. God, if you don't show up, I'm in big trouble. This is what faith looks like. This is what audacious faith looks like. Faith is rarely 100% certain. Faith steps into uncertainty and trusts in a God who will never fail. Do you know why God loves it when we're in this desperate place? When we place ourselves in full surrender and desperation, if God doesn't move, then I'm out. Because it's a place of total surrender. It's a place of complete transparency, complete trust. I trust my life in God's hands so much more than in my hands. I've proven time and again that I'm not God. And I've proven that my ideas and my wills only destroy things. Whereas God, on the other hand, has never and will never fail. God is continually trying to strip away the things that cause us that keep us from trusting Him. God designed us to walk by faith. He designed us to walk in faith. In the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Baal prayed all day. They made an altar, and the deal was, all right, whichever one of our gods, either Baal or God, rains down fire and consumes the sacrifice, that would be the one true God. All right, so the prophets of Baal prayed all day nothing happened. If you read the new Hoover version, Baal apparently is out. He had to go take a leak. And so Elijah's making fun of all the prophets. Like, or maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he missed his alarm. And so he has to go like wake him up or something. Like, Baal is not God. He is not anything. He's just this made up thing. And so we kind of pick up the wood. We pick up the story in verse 33. He, Elijah, arranged the wood. That's where that came from. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. If you want fire to burn something, don't put water on it. Cool? Survival skills 101. Great. And then he keeps going, do it again. And then he said to them, do it a third time, he ordered. And they did it a third time. Water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. This is not conducive to a bonfire. All right? It's just not how it works. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O God, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all of these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so these people will know that you are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the soil. And then it licked up all the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. God moves when you move. God moves when your audacious, impossible faith moves the hand of God on your behalf. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. She fought through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. What about blind Bartimaeus? He yelled out over the crowd even after he was told to shut up. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What about the paralytic that was lowered into his friends lowered him into the house, cut the roof apart, dropped him down. They ignored all the social protocols just to get their friend to Jesus. What about a real life example of, I don't know, quitting our jobs, taking a 60% pay cut and moving far away from our family and friends just to pursue the call of God on our life? What about struggling financially for years and yet praising God for our daily bread every day? Because daily bread was like all we had. Well, let's keep going though. What about a few years later quitting again, moving to a place without the knowledge of housing and income with a family of four? Because God said, go to the land I will show you. God moves when you move. We left everything we knew simply because we heard God's voice. And so we get to like the end of our lives, and what are the things that people regret the most? What's that? I didn't take enough risks. It's that I wish I would have done something that mattered. Your financial portfolio might look nice. You might have set up your family very well, and I'm proud of you for that. But so what? Is the kingdom of God growing because of you? What about the eternity of your kids, of your spouse? You set them up for the rest of their lives physically, but there's a lot left over. Some of you in the room are probably standing before your Mount Carmel, and you're wondering that if you step out in faith, you're wondering if God will actually catch you or not. Maybe you even have what seems like 450 enemy prophets attacking you every day. Let me just tell you, God moves when you move. Noah, y'all remember that dude? Who built the ark? Thank you. That was beautiful. Noah had to start building the ark. I don't have a song for. Oh yes, I got a song about this one too. Father,
Abraham.
There we go. Father Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. I don't think I have a song for this next one. Moses stood before the Red Sea. Joshua lifted his hands and prayed for the sun to stand still. Peter had to step out of the boat and onto the water. Let me tell you a secret that's on every page of this book. God does the impossible for his children. For those who step out in faith, God does the impossible. He moves and does the impossible. Look, so back to our story in 1 Kings. After God sent down fire from heaven, Elijah had the 450 prophets of Baal slaughtered in that valley. Don't you know you kind of have to cut ties with all the junk that's keeping you down? If God delivered you from it, leave it alone. If God delivered you from it, leave it alone. We mentioned this a little bit last week. But if God frees your spirit from anxiety, from stress, from oppression, from depression, whatever it may be, from filthy relationships, leave them at the altar in his presence. Let's go to verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain. Y'all remember what happened? Why there was a famine in the first place? It was a challenge to Baal. Wine and fertility. Remember? Okay. And so there's this famine. And now Elijah tells King Ahab, go eat and drink, for there's a sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. He bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. Go look towards the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. So Elijah gave up. He got discouraged because God didn't do something. Seven times Elijah said, go back. Have you actually prayed for that thing to be, that thorn in your flesh to be removed from you seven times? Or have you prayed once or twice and then just complained the other times? Praying and complaining are two different things. Praying is enacting your faith that God is going to move on your behalf. Complaining is assuring God that he can't. Praying is believing God, enacting your faith that he can move the mountain, the impossible. And he can do the impossible. Complaining is proving to is dictating to God that he can't. Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. He won that great battle on the top with the altar and the fire and all the water and stuff. And then he guarantees King Ahab that rain is on its way. Elijah prays. Nothing happens. So Elijah prays again. Nothing happens. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times he prays and sends his servant to go check. If you don't get tired of pursuing God and bringing your request to God, if you never tire of that, you can be sure the people around you might. I'm sorry, but this is life. This is real life. Sometimes it's hard for other people to really get excited about what God is doing in your life. And I'm sorry that is the way it is. It shouldn't be. We as believers should be the ones championing one another into good works as long as it is called today. We encourage one another. I can imagine this servant. I mean, he's a servant. It's his job to do what he's told. But I can imagine him, you know, like kind of shuffling, kicking the rocks. I'm like, that's the fifth time I've been back here. Nothing happened. I can't believe I'm going back a sixth time and nothing happened. He's not even like Bible didn't even say he was speaking in tongues, so, you know, maybe he wasn't even really praying hard.
That was a joke.
But seven times. Seven times Elijah prays. You know, I think Elijah strategically didn't even look at the sky. I think he didn't. So what do you do when what you've heard isn't matching with what you've seen? Have you ever got a word from God before? You've been reading his word and something stands out to you. Maybe, I don't know, go to the land, I will show you. That's what got Amanda and I. It was that one phrase, go to the land, I will show you. And so we went. We went. That's past tense of go. Come on. We went. Come on. Y'all better track with me today. Y'all better track. We went. Because we simply heard God speak. And then it was a struggle for a long time. It didn't match up with the vision and the dreams that God has given us. Can I tell you, I still have dreams from those moments. Go to the land, I will show you. By the way, it was Oxford. I didn't know that yet. But here we are. I still have dreams and visions from way back when that aren't matching up with reality. So what do you do when what you see doesn't match up with what God has spoken? You know, there are times when you've done everything you can. You've believed, you've prayed, you've confessed your sins, you've checked your motives, and the breakthrough still doesn't come. The finances keep getting tighter. The cancer spreads. The marriage continues to fall apart. Your child continues to walk away from the faith. Radical and audacious faith continues to believe God for the impossible, no matter the situation. You know, faith is easy when God just does what you tell him to do. It's real easy. But faith is tested when it seems as though God didn't come through for you. It's hard. It's hard to live in faith and expectation every single day because I'm still flawed Ryan. Yeah. Trying to bend my will, break my will so that his will can be done. My will still tries to get in his way. But the good part is we don't live by sight. We live by faith. And so we don't have to believe everything that we see. So just because something isn't materialized yet doesn't mean God's not working on it. Doesn't mean there's not a lesson that we're supposed to learn in this season that's going to carry us through. Elijah prayed seven times and sent his servants to go look for a cloud. And then finally in verse 44, the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is arising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariots and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah. Tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. I hope you really caught that last miracle. That was cool. He said, let me remind you, he says, hitch up your chariots and go down before the rain stops you. Okay, let me jump real quick. Elijah tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab the whole way to Jezreel. Dude outran a chariot because the power of God came on him. Worship team, come help me out. If the power of God comes on you, there is nothing that you can't do. When God moves on your behalf, the impossible is then possible. I heard it said one time, nothing is impossible to him who believes. But believes in what? In whom? Not in myself. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. It may be your job to step out in faith, but it's God's job to do the impossible and to do the miraculous. The pressure's not on you to make it happen. It's just your job to position yourself to receive the miracle. So I got two questions for us. Well, two questions. The first question was this. Do you believe that God wants to do the impossible in your life? And number two, what is keeping you from stepping out and living a life of radical faith? Y'all jump to your feet with me real quick. You should have all received communion elements as you walked through the door. If you did not, can you raise your hand? And we've got some people that are going to come run around. Yeah. You need one too. So church, what's stopping us from actually stepping out and living a life of radical faith? Can I just go ahead and tell you, when you step out into the life of radical faith, you're going to have some bumps and bruises on the road. Things will not, I will just guarantee you, things will not go according to your plan. They will not go according to your plan. But that's the whole point. It's not your plan that you're living out. It's God's. Stepping out allows you to receive those bumps and bruises, to get knocked down, have the opportunity to get back up. But you also allow yourself the chance to experience the impossible. To experience a miracle. This is what today is. We want to position ourselves to receive the impossible that happens in the presence of God. Does everybody have communion elements in their hands? Everybody? Okay. So I'm going to ask you today, what areas of your life do you feel like God is asking you to step out? Step out in radical, audacious faith. What is that area? Is he simply asking you to confirm your belief that he can do it again? That he is the God who heals us? That he is Jehovah Jireh? That he is the one who makes a way when there seems to be no way? That he is the restorer, the healer, the hope giver, the joy giver? Maybe we just have a skewed view of who God is. And so maybe us stepping out is actually stepping into the Word of God. Did you know that almost 85% of people who call themselves Christians read their Bible once a week, and that's on Sunday when the pastor reads it to them? It's really hard to activate impossible faith when you don't even know what this says, and you don't know how to read it and dig into it for yourselves. Today, communion is a reset, and it's a realignment with the God of the impossible. This represents the impossible. Communion represents the impossible. That a man could have his body broken, completely destroyed, and his blood spill out. So there was nothing but just water and sweat. And that guy get up out of a grave 3 days later? Nope. That's impossible. That only happens when the power of God rests on your life. You want to go ahead and peel back that top layer. Get our body of Christ ready. Father, we come to you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for who you are. Of course, we thank you for what you do, but God, more than that, we thank you for who you are. You are the good Father who knows how to give good gifts to your children. Jesus, we give it all to you. Thank you for willingly sacrificing yourself, for breaking your body so that we could be made well. It says, by your stripes, we were healed. And so as the impossible God, we believe you. We believe you can still do it again. Would you take of the body with me? And in the same way, he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. Do this every time you remember me. You remember the Lord's death until he comes again." Jesus lived out the impossible so that God can do the impossible in your life. Let's take the cup. Oh, Jesus, we're so grateful for you. We're so thankful for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. God, you made a way when there seems to be no way. You let down all. You said, not only would we do the things that you did, but even greater things than these. Because you're going to the Father. Jesus, that sounds like some impossible stuff to me. Church, we've got some people with collection things to grab your trash. While they're doing that, Miss Kyla, on number 5, on that light thing, can you pull that all the way down for me? Top left. Sorry, just 3 into it. While that's happening, I've just got a sneaky suspicion that because God has led us to deal with impossibilities, that's what a lot of us have walked in with. If you're our prayer team, can you come help us get ready? I know we've got a lot of moving pieces right now, but if you're on our prayer team, we're going to need you today. If you're here and you're like, you know what, Pastor Ryan, I've got some impossible things that I need the God of the impossible to intervene. Without him, nothing's going to work. Or maybe you've already stepped out in faith and now you're in the, oh no, is he going to actually be there to catch me? God of the impossible is there. And we want to pray with you. We want to believe with you for the impossible. Because God's not a God of just what's possible with us. He's God of the impossible. So if you've walked in with something impossible, it matters not what it is. God cares about it. He sees you. He cares about you. He knows you. We want to pray with you. So I'm going to pray. And when I say amen, if we can pray with you, please come find us. Father, we love you. We're so grateful for you. We're grateful that you're not confined by what we're capable of. God, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful that you are the God of the impossible. You don't just do little things. You don't just do the big things. You do everything. Nothing's too big for you, so we're going to lay the big stuff at your feet. Nothing's too small for you, so we're going to lay the small stuff at your feet. Father, we give it all to you right now in the name of Jesus. Church, if we can pray with you and believe the impossible with you, come and find us. Amen. So, I hope you get annoyed with the question over the next couple of weeks. Do you believe that God wants to do the impossible in your life? I really hope you get annoyed, because by the time you get annoyed, I think you'll get it. Well, I'm so glad y'all were here today. Y'all know how we like to do it. At the end of every service, we like to say something that really drives home who we are in response to who He is. So Jesus said, "I'm the vine.
We are the branch."
So everywhere you go,
He's the branch.